discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God has not changed. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Thankful. Thank you for the blessings we have in you. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, your mighty, mighty Holy Spirit. We are grateful and are thankful for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us understand your word, Lord. Bring us your word with so much clarity to receive that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Let the eyes of understanding be enlightened practically as we hear your word. Receive your word with meekness and with gladness to your glory, even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can you give Jesus a shout? Wow, what a blessing. All right, today I'm preaching on It's a Family Thing. Over here. It's a family thing. Tell me about
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing. And I want to start from Psalm 68, verse 6. Can we read it together? One to go. Oh, only three people came to church today. It's like the rain. Do you know it rained?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like the rain has entered you. Let the rain come out of you. Let's read it together. One to go. The solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Can we read it once again? God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I'm preaching on It's a family thing. It's a family thing. This is what God does. God sets the solitary or the lonely. Can we read NLT? I'm sure NLT will say it in a different way. God places the lonely in families. Have you ever tried to be in a room on your own for days before? When you go on a retreat, you see, it's not a small thing. I've been on a number of retreats, and there are some retreats that I go, I feel like running away because it's like I'm alone. Yeah, I want to escape the room. I've stayed in one room for 7 days before without stepping out. It's many years ago. That was a very extreme one. I didn't step out of my room. All I did was look through the window. I even did 1 month, but then I was stepping out of my room. I did 1 month. I've done 1 month by the grace of God, but I'll step out of my room and walk around a bit. But this one, I was in the room. Hey, 7 days. I tell you, solitary confinement. One day I went on a retreat somewhere. And as I was at the retreat, I was not feeling too good. I was not feeling too well. I realized I have missed my family. Bah. So I booked the flight. I was in the Volta region. I booked the flight and I ran away from the retreat. And then I met Pastor Alex at the airport, gave the card to him, got on the plane and flew to Kumasi to go and see my family. Because family is very important. I don't know if you have ever missed your family before. Ask your neighbor, neighbor. You're asking, have I? I know that some of us don't have families. Yes, I know. But actually, it's family is God's design. Okay? Family is what? It's God's design. No one is born by a tree. Or no one is born by a stone. We're all born by human beings. And the natural thing is that whoever gave birth to you has to be there for you. That's how it's supposed to be. I know it's not always like that. Okay? God places us in families. Okay? That's God's aim. That's God's aim. Because we are all born by someone. Now, it's not different in the new birth. in a new birth, when you get born again, God also wants to place you, or God places you in a family. God places you in a family. Say family.
Family.
Yes. God places you in a family. And your ability to recognize that you have been placed in a family is very important, because it determines the level of commitment and the level of flow that you have. Do you see? If you don't think that you are in a family, then you misbehave. Okay? Just as we have in the natural, you have someone, two people giving birth, and all of that. Also in the spirit, God gives birth to us. Nobody is responsible for our new birth apart from God. No human being died. It's Jesus who died. Jesus is a human being as well, but he is the one who died on the cross. So even if you are led to Christ by someone from a church or something, it doesn't mean that you belong to that person. I don't know how to say it. Your new birth was not caused by a human being. It was caused by God, even though God used human beings to get it done. Okay? Human beings are very important. I was preaching about how important it is for a human being to be in your life, for someone to be in your life. And someone got angry and stood up and left the service, because he said, how come I'm talking about a human, like human beings are the way God talks to people? But God talks to people through, it's in the Bible, it's everywhere. The whole Bible is human beings. Oh? Isaiah is a human being. God spoke through him for us to get the book of Isaiah. Ezekiel is human being. Malachi, non-human being. The Bible was put together by human beings. So I was just trying to explain how important human beings are. And the person got angry. Yeah. And stood up and left. Hey! I thought the person was going to work. No, the person was really angry. It was later we learned that the person was really angry. It's like, I won't come back to church again, whatever. How come the pastor is saying that it's human beings, God uses human beings? It's wild. Who should God use? As well. Anyway, so God uses human beings, but it is actually God who does the things. Okay? God is responsible for our new birth. Tell me about God is responsible. For our new birth. You see, God is called the multi-wombed, multi-breasted one. The word Shaddai, El Shaddai, is multi-breasted, multi-wombed. God has multiple wombs. And he gives birth to us. We are born again by the word and by the spirit. Jesus explained to Nicodemus in John 3. Okay, look at John 3 verse 5. He says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What does water represent? Water is the word of God. Tell me about water is the word of God. John 15 verse 3. Look at John 15 verse 3. It says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." He uses the word of God like as though it's water. He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Do you see? So the word is represented with water most of the time. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, so that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." You see, so the word is typified or described as water in these verses that I'm showing you. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, "Except a man be born of water," he's talking about the word. Hello? So the born-again experience happens as a result of the word of God acting in your life. The word of God acts like sperm. Some people don't want us to say sperm in the church. But sperm is real. It's there. Your neighbor has some. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:23. Look at this. It says, your neighbor is worried. "Being born again." It's in the Bible. I'm not the one saying, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Can we read the Amplified of this? Can we read the Amplified? Okay, 1, 2, go. You read it yourself. 1, 2, go. 1, 2, go. "You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed, sperm, but from one that is immortal, By the ever living and lasting word of God.
You see, it's in the Bible. So the born again experience happens. This is the second time the word born again is used in the Bible just twice. By Jesus and then by Peter. You see? And Peter explains to us that we are born again, not of corruptible sperm or corruptible seed, but by the sperm of the word. By the incorruptible sperm or seed of the word that lives forever. Okay, so when Jesus says, except a man be born of water, he's referring to the word. Your born again experience happens as a result of the word of God coming into your life to recreate you. Then the Spirit of God acts as the womb. You need a sperm, you need an egg for a baby to be born. So the egg is produced by the Spirit. So Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit acts as the incubator or like the womb, fertilized by the sperm of the word for us to be born again. The word is God. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word of God is God, isn't it? Then the Spirit of God is also God. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is God, moved upon the face of the waters. The first member of the Godhead that is revealed to us is the Spirit. Okay? Hello? Go to verse 1, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, the word God here is Elohim. That's plural for God. Elohim, plural for God. In the beginning, God, the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. Then the next verse says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the first of the Godhead to be revealed is the Spirit of God. It says he moved upon the face of the waters. Look at the next verse 3. And then God, this is in reference to God the Father. So the Spirit, God the Spirit is revealed, then God the Father is revealed, then God the Word is revealed. It says, and God said, when God the Father showed up, the next thing he did was to say, that's the God the Word. Let there be light, and there was light. So all the three members of the God are revealed in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay? Now, the Word, God the Word and God the Spirit are responsible for our new birth, as authored or as spoken by God the Father. And because our new birth is the responsibility of God, God becomes our Father. Are you in the church? You have gone home. God becomes what? Our Father. So God is our Father. We are born of God. John chapter 1 verse 12, for instance. Look at John 1 verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have become sons of God, sons and daughters of God, if you like. Okay, and God is now our Father. Now, as a responsible father, he determines which family to place you in. Hello? He determines what? Which family to place you in. All the churches that are in the world are different families that come from God. Every church, okay, came from God. Every church came from God. Now, God is the one who determines where you should be. He gives birth to you. You see, there are very wonderful ladies here. Ladies are supposed to have wombs. And ladies are supposed to have breasts by the grace. Hey. I nearly said, check your neighbor, but I'll let you say. But every lady here has a breast, has a set of breasts. Now, if... the womb that has given birth is the breast that feeds the child. No matter how large the breasts are, if that womb has not given birth, that breast will not have milk for the child. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? So God is the one who gives birth to us, and he determines which breast should feed us. Hey! Praise the Lord. The womb that gives birth is the breast that feeds the child. So if our new birth is the responsibility of God and not the responsibility of any man, then God is the one who determines where you should be in order to receive the nourishment that
is required for your growth and for your development. Please, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So every church is a set of breasts that is designed by God for his children that he has given birth to. And if you are sitting here, it's not by mistake. It's the Lord who has brought you. Now, you must understand that these are breasts that have been designed by God for you to feed on and for you to enjoy and be blessed. Hey! That's why I began with the verse I began with. What verse did I begin with? Psalm 68, verse 6. God, it is God who does it. He says, God sets the solitary or the lonely in families. That is what he does. When he gives birth to you, he puts you into a family. So that you will not be lonely. So that you will not be alone. So that you can receive help. You see, he says, God sets the solitary in families. Then there's a colon. He says, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains. The way God brings deliverance to your life is through the family he puts you into. The family he puts you into is response, is God's means of delivering you, of changing your mindset. Hey, you will see that you have come to church, but you have a very bad mind. You are bound with chains, mental chains, psychological chains, chains of depression, emotional chains, financial chains, academic chains, familial chains, marital chains. You want to marry seven? It's a chain that is on your mind. Hey! Sexual chains. Someone's sensual, sensual. Hey! Many chains. Chains of sickness. Chains of depression. Chains of poverty. Chains of lack. Chains of character problems. The character is stinky. Chains of envy. Chains of jealousy. Chains of gossip. Some people can gossip like it's nothing. The chain is around them. They are holding the chains. Hey! Chains of unforgiveness. Chains of bitterness. You drink living bitters like it is nothing. Chains of bitterness. Chains of lust. More chains. Give me more chains. Chains of theft. This one, when I woke up, I started thinking about someone who was stealing. Here. I mean, your phone will be gone. By the end of the service, your phone is gone. Just this morning, I was thinking about him. I was like, thieves are not good at all. As you have planned that you are going to use this thing for, I thought about the materials that were sold from your business. You remember?
Yeah.
At this morning, I was like, all this iron, whatever, is all gone because this boy has stolen everything. Stole everything and went to sell them. Liquidated all. Air conditioned pipes. This morning, he was one of the main people I was thinking about this morning. I didn't know you mentioned theft chains. He came into the church with theft chains, even stealing chains around his neck, locked with padlocks. We did everything, it didn't change. Yeah, we use hammer, we use chisel, we use kokulomaja, we use drilling machine, everything, the chainsaw, the chain, it didn't collapse. Hey! Yes, that's the next one, the rebellious. It says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So as time goes on, things must change.
Yeah.
You came in with chains. Those chains are meant to be broken because of the family that you belong to. God puts you into a family. It's a family thing. The church is a family. It's not something you attend and go home and just go. No, we are linked. You see, they say blood is thicker than water, right? Your siblings are those who have the same blood as you. Is it true?
Yeah.
Yes. I learned some new words during the week. Your nieces and your nephews are called your nibblings. Nibblings. I didn't know. Yes. Then your aunties and your uncles are called your... Please, it's not unclings. Hey! It's not unclings. What a shock. I've forgotten. It's certainly not unclings. You say something. You can search for it. Uncles and aunties. Piblings, yes, it's P. Piblings. And then your parents, your mother and your father are called what? No, it's not parents. It's something. What do you think it is? I'm joking. It's parents. But those you are, it's people you are linked to. You are linked to by blood that you belong to the same family with. Guess what? We too, we are linked by blood. Or are we not linked by blood? We are linked by the blood of Jesus. The same blood that was used to purchase you, the same blood that was used to purchase me. So we are also related by blood. Yes. We have come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than the blood of Abel. That's where we have arrived.
Usually we say blood is thicker than water. But it's actually, that's not the phrase. The phrase is
We don't know.
We thought blood of
uncles and aunties are unclings. If that one cry, we don't know how much more this one. Please help us.
It is actually the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Wow.
Which is actually referring, yes, you can check it.
Referring to the blood of Jesus.
Which is referring actually to the bonds that you share in the Lord is stronger than what you can share naturally.
Wow. Yeah. I think the message is done. See you next week. Bye-bye. Yeah. The blood that we share, yes, through the covenant, yes, is thicker than the water of the womb. Wow. What a blessing. So slap the nearest sibling by you and say, my brother, my sister. So we are called, listen, there's a Greek word that refers to us because of how strong our bond is, our spiritual bond is. There's a word that is used for it. It's called adelphos. It's the word brethren. Have you ever heard of the word brethren? Eh? For instance, if you read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, you see holy brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The word brethren is adelphos. It means siblings born from the same womb. Yes. Do you see? So we are actually closer than you think. We are more family than you think. Maybe you don't know. And the more you start relaxing around the family, the better it will be for you.
Yes.
You will start enjoying more when you start relaxing more. The chains will start moving out and start breaking when you start relaxing. Yes. But when there's some rebellion in your heart or rebellion in your mind, like, oh, they should go away. And it's like you are rejecting all the solutions that God is bringing to shape you in your character. Listen, in a new birth, we become like Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us. You may not feel like it. You may not think like it. But the truth is that you and Jesus are like this. You are one. That's what the Bible says. You see, showing us a verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I think, is it TPT that says, so are we now? Show us TPT. Make the verse passionate. TPT. It says that because all, I'm reading the second portion, it says because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. All that he now is, so are we in this world. So now, it is not in reference to your mind. No, your thinking is not like Jesus is thinking. When the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, he's not talking about this, your mind. It's like this, your mind is not correct. Look at the foolish things you are even thinking about right now. Your mind can just go and come back. Hey. You remember the party you attended last week instead of believers' conversion? You remember? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. It has nothing. He's not talking about this, your physical mind. He's talking about the mind of your spirit. Okay? The mind of your spirit. We are like Jesus spiritually, not outwardly. But then God's aim is not for us to look like him spiritually only. He wants us to look like him in our souls. Heaven, amazingly, is not our destination. Heaven is not our destination. Hey, the pastor said heaven is not our destination. Yes, that's what I said because of what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Read your Bible, you see it. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, for whom God did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. To predestinate means to have a destination before you set out. You were predestinated to come here. You predestinated to come to this place. When you left your house, didn't you have a destination in mind? Destiny and destination is the same thing. So you had a destination in mind. The destination was Love Economy Church, Thesaurus, Agoba, Sun City. Nobizo. That was the location you typed into your whatever, your maps, if you didn't know this place. If you know this place, you know that you know it in your head where you are going. If they are taking you on the wrong road, you say, hey, brah. You say to the Uber driver, why, do you have plans of kidnapping me? This is where I'm supposed to pass. You know where I'm supposed to go. Do you see? In the same way, God also knows where we are supposed to go. He knows where he wants us to end. And the location, the destination, is for us to look like his son, Jesus Christ. Outwardly, so he shows us, says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of a son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see the word brethren there? It's other. Am I lying or is true? It's Adelphos. What is the meaning of Adelphos? Can you show it to us? Adelphos is spelled A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. Can you show it to us? So Jesus is our first brother. And we are all his brothers, including the ladies. We are all brothers, I tell you. Brethren, it doesn't say sistering. There's no sistering. It's brethren. There are no daughters. It's sons. We are all male sons and female sons. And then we are all male brides and female brides. I think by now we should know that thing. I've said it so many times this year. Yeah. So turn to your nearest brother, brother, princess, brother, brother, something. We are all brothers. Yes, that's your brother, I tell you. Your wifely brother. What does it say?
Adelphos.
It's correct. So I'm right.
Yes.
The first one is not wrong.
No.
The Greek word is what?
Adelphos.
What does it mean?
It means a brother, uh-huh, whether born of the same two parents, mm-hmm, or only of the same father or mother.
Mm.
Having number two is having the same national ancestor, belonging to the same people,
wow,
or countryman.
Wow. You're a countryman. You are from the same country. You see, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. And all the brethren must look like one person. That is the destination of God. God wants all of us to look like Jesus outwardly in your soul. So the chains that are in your soul must fall off to look like Jesus Christ. The chains that are in your body must fall off to look like Jesus Christ in your body. In the way you act, the way you speak, the way you behave, how you treat people must be the same way Jesus treats you. How will we know that Jesus is alive if we don't see Jesus in you? The reason why you are still around after your new birth is because God wants to use you to be a display of his virtues, a display of his excellencies. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Show it to me, 1 Peter 2, 9. This is Christianity. Your Christianity is not about going to heaven, dying to go to heaven. No, that's not the destiny of God. Of course, we'll be in heaven. I'm not saying we'll not be in heaven. We'll be in heaven now. All the people who have died, where are they? They are in heaven. They are with the Lord. The Bible says, absent in body, present with God. But that is not God's destination. God's destination is not to be in heaven. Just be in. No, his destination is for us to be like his son, Jesus Christ, in all ramifications. And this verse shows us why we are still here on earth. Because if heaven was the aim for God, when you get born again, we just behead you. Just behead you. What are you doing here? Give your life to Christ. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Yeah. Debbie, are you ready to give your life to Christ? Receive you. Say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus. Yeah. Dear Lord, brother. I'm the righteous of God. Amen. All right. Give me a cutlass right now. I'm into cutlass. Then I'll just cut off your head. Then you're off. You'll be with the Lord. Absent in body, present with the Lord. So what's the point? All the problems of this life, the lack of money, lack of beloved, lack of all the sexual torture, all the things. I mean, what's the use?
God.
It's all gone. You'll be fine. You are with the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Nobody will tempt you again. Hey, but that's not God's aim. God wants you to go through all the temptations and show his character in the midst of the temptations. Someone is insulting you, pa, and you know about it, but you apply what Jesus said to apply. Like Matthew chapter 5, verse 47. Look at Matthew 5, verse 47. Go to 48. But I say unto you, love your enemies. You see that thing? Because of this one, you have to be here. You learn how to love your enemies. You have to learn it. Yeah, because Jesus loved his enemies. When they were whipping him, when they were spitting on his face and slapping him, they spat on him and slapped him. And he was quiet. Religious spit and political spit. Yeah, two groups. Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 61, I believe. This fellow said, go to 63, go to verse 64, go to 65. It's this same place. There's a communication going on. The high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy.
What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? What do you think? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Ah, what did he do? He's not done anything wrong. He said, kill that guy. Next verse. Then did they spit in his face. Early morning spit. This is 5 a.m. 4 a.m. Not one person, no. Then did they. Do you understand they? Then did they. Everybody there. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. Let's read another. Let's read a lighter version. NLT. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him. Skrpa. Pa 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 pa. Skiddy biddy pa pa. Hey! Skutu dung dung boom boom. They were slapping him. Easy English. Then some of the men began to send water from their mouths. They sent water from their mouths. It's wild, isn't it? It's difficult. They sent water from their mouths into Jesus' face.
Water.
They also hit him with their fists, slapping him. Yeah. After this spit, he was drowned in spitting. In spit. After this one, there was another set. Let me show you that others. Can you help me find it? The whole garrison, the whole group of soldiers, at least 1,000 people. I think that one should be in Luke or something like that. I was still in Matthew 26. So God wants you to learn how to take spits quietly. I'm on my way. Silent version. Look at this one. Matthew 2. So this is the next chapter, chapter 27, verse 36. And they began. Okay, 26. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. A band of soldiers is nothing less than 600 to 1,000 people or beyond. Yeah. Then the whole band, this one is showing you the whole band of soldiers. Gathered unto him, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, all of them. Yes, they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Let's do the lighter version, you don't understand. Easy English. Easy English. Okay, show us. Make it easy, brother. Then the soldiers sent water from their mouth. I tell you. They sent water from their mouth into Jesus' face. Into his face. Direct into his face. They took the stick and they hit Jesus on his head. With it again and again. 1,000 people. Spit. Take. Pop, pop, pop. Then they put it back in their hands. Then this one comes. Spit. Pop, 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 pop. So we are like Jesus inside. But you see, you can't stand one spit. Even a drop. When the pastor is preaching and a drop comes out. It's unintentional. You can't remember the message. You don't want to hear what is going on. Your ability to forgive your brother. Remembering that we are from the same family. This one is not my enemy. No matter what he or she has done. Is why you are still here on earth. Yeah. That's why we are still here. Jesus said, love your enemies. When they were doing this to him, he didn't open his mouth. He forgave them. Whilst they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hey! That's what we are looking at. That's what we are looking at. That's why we are still here. All the chains of your nonsense, the chains of your, you know, you have a certain sense of revenge. Like watch a movie. You have watched movies every time. There's revenge. You are watching a Korean series, Indian movies, telenovelas. There's revenge everywhere. Nicola Aymar, Rosalinda. Everybody's revenging. You took my boy. You did this. You did that. You did this. You did that. Everybody's revenge. So there's revenge. Vengefulness in their hearts. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You have taken the vengeance. You say, God, think about yourself. Me, I'll revenge. You want to be John Wick? You are killing all the enemies. Charlie, in the Bible, it's not like that too. All the enemies must be liked. All the enemies must be loved. Ah, you didn't see it. Matthew chapter 5. Let me show it to you. You didn't see it. You were not in the church. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Hey! Bless them that curse you. Those who are cursing you, says bless them. Mm-hmm. This is what the family members of God do. This is what the firstborn did. Why are they? You think that it's only Jesus who could forgive at the height of pain and maltreatment. But in Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen also forgiving. Yeah, same condition, similar. It's not the same, but similar. They were stoning him to death. Acts chapter 7, go to verse 59 or whatever. Let's read from verse 59. He says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. They thought they were doing God a favor. They were calling upon God and saying, he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Can you imagine that if Stephen has said, Lord, I curse all of them. Let them all see hellfire and the lake of fire. Lord, let not their children see the light of day. Saul of Tarsus was the one, they laid their shirts. They laid the people who stoned Stephen, they laid their robes. The sword of Tarsus was the one who was protecting the robes. Like when you finish coming, I'll hold it for dog. Just kill the guy. He was the one, the orchestrator. If Stephen had prayed a dangerous prayer, that guy would not have been saved. All the Pauline epistles would have been destroyed. Yeah, wouldn't have had them. But Stephen prayed that it would not be laid to their charge. That is why Saul of Tarsus could be saved. Yes. So someone took your girlfriend. Ha! Salah. You want to kill everybody.
Learn now.
That's what God wants us to learn. You see how your siblings mafia you? Have you seen or you've not seen? Like they can do something, you realize, hey, what is that? But they are still, you say blood is thicker than water. Now we know which blood we are talking about. The blood is Jesus' blood. So no matter what happens, we are in the family of God, and we must belong to the family of God. We must commit ourselves to the family of God. We must flow in the family of God. Our destination is to look like Jesus in spirit. We look like him in spirit. He wants us to look like him in soul, look like him in body, in terms of character, in terms of speech, in terms of attitude, everything. All the chains must fall off. The place is very quiet. What are you thinking about? Love your enemies. There's a version that says, do something good for them. Do something lovely. So the one you know that's not like you says, do something lovely for him. You know that he doesn't like you. Buy champagne with whatever. Is the message version. Oh, beautiful. This is TPT. Can we read this one together? One to go. However, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hates you. And respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. Respond by praying. You see, it's like, hey, wow, yeah. This is God's destiny for you. This is why you are still here. God wants us to demonstrate the character, his character on earth. This is why we are here. And who best to assist you than those who are closest to you? Tell neighbor, I will assist you. I will assist you big time. Don't be angry with me. I'll assist you so that you learn how not to be angry. Hey! Message version. Let's read the message version. Message version. Can we read it together? I want to go. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. Energies of prayer. Hey! Let them bring out the best in you. Is it that God doesn't know that this person has done something wrong against you? He knows. He knows. Yeah.
For then you are working out of yourselves, out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and nasty. He blesses everyone. This is why we are still around. Yes. It's a family thing, I tell you. It's a family thing. So some people don't want to be offended, so they don't want to join strongly to some of the things. Like, they don't want to come close too much. Because like, I know when I come close, I'll be hurting. Share. Come close. How else will your character be refined? How else will things change in your life? If your boss mafia you small, you want to leave the work. How else will your life become better? No, everything that is happening around you is to make you a better person. And you shouldn't run away when something is going on. Like, small thing now. Okay, I brought myself. I'm out. I brought myself. I'm off. No, how will you become a better person? I'm going on a break. No. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9. My mental health is affected. Why are you talking about mental health all the time? What is going on? I thought you were whole. What happened to... What is this? We didn't have that 10 years ago. There was nothing like mental health. Even 5 years ago, we didn't know that term. What has happened? Hey, social media. Yeah, things are happening in America. It doesn't happen here. Even the road that we have, it doesn't happen in America. So the road is different. Even the road should let you know that it's a different environment. Their problem is different from our problem. You understand? Stop importing some problems. The road is a sign to show you that it's a different environment. This is not America. This is not UK. Their road is finished. So they can think about other things like mental health. And our road is not finished. You don't have a right to think about. We don't have much food to eat. You stop thinking about some things. I mean, the fact that you don't have a dog in your house and a cat in your house who are just eating happily shows that the problems they have is not the type of problem you have. What did you see in Singapore? What you remember? What did you see? Pastor Eli and his wife were in Singapore not long ago, and they saw something in Singapore. Can you tell us? You can tell us together.
Yeah, so went to Singapore and then went to a mall, a very big, I think it's the biggest mall over there, one of their biggest malls. Very big place. We were there for about maybe 3 hours. Mm-hmm. We were the only blacks that were there. And then we saw on a high level, we saw that they were doing a concert. So they had set up a stage. They had put mic. Expensive things.
Very expensive things.
So I was expecting, because we like music, we're expecting to. So we're hanging around for music to hear. Then as we're moving around, then they started playing. Then we also noticed that there are dogs and cats around. That they have dressed the dogs and they've dressed the cats.
Yeah.
And they got trolley and put strollers. Sorry.
For baby strollers.
Baby strollers.
It's not babies that are in the strollers.
It's a dog or it's a cat. And they are moving this thing. And then there's place they do nails for the dogs, pedicure and things.
Manicure.
They have dresses for them. This is a mall. And then the concert started and the song... The music concert was for the dogs and the cats. So they were singing about the problems that dogs and cats have. For example, we heard a song. We couldn't believe it. It was live recording, live performance. They gave the inspiration for the song. One of the inspiration of the song was, you know, when somebody comes to pat your dog and the dog doesn't like the fact that somebody has pat him.
They said that. So they were talking about how sometimes, like, you know, you have a puppy and the puppy is cute and then everybody wants to touch the puppy. Then sometimes it's too much. And what was the dog doesn't like that. Then they started singing the song about it. Like, hey.
So brothers and sisters, you see that the problems they have, it's not like, have you seen some before in any mall here? We don't have. So how can you import? What is that? Say you have mental health, whatever, my mental health. You are not on that level. We have not gotten there. As long as you are not singing to cats and dogs, we are not there yet. This morning when I woke up, I saw chicken, hen and cock, everybody running around, jumping into other people's homes and all of that. That is what is in our area. I mean, what are you talking about? Stop that drop there, my friend. Eat your banku and shito and jazz, we have you. You are depressed.
your road is not good. Why won't you become depressed? But you're a chosen generation. Tell me about it's a family thing. It's a family thing. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. This is God's design for you. For what purpose? It says he saved you. For what purpose? You have peculiar chosen. Let's read the Amplified. Amplified, this is very nice. But you're a chosen race. That's your life. A royal priesthood. You're a king priest. A dedicated nation. God's own purchased special people. That's how special you are. Then it says, for what purpose? Why has he chosen, made you special? So that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's put his virtues inside you. He's put his perfections inside you. He's put his deeds inside you. He says he wants you to display. He wants you to set it forth. That is why we are here on earth. That's why we are here on earth. And that's Christianity. Christianity is a display of the virtues, the excellency, the perfections of God in the earth. And when the Bible says God is love, he means it. God is love. God is love. So what virtue, what deeds? He wants you to treat each other in a certain way. He wants us to treat each other in a certain way. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to love our families, love our children, love our wives. Why are you fighting with your wife? Why are you quarreling with this person? What is the meaning of that? No. That's not what God wants. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34. He says that, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye should love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is how I want, this is the new commandment I'm giving to you. You want to know the commandment of the Lord? This is the commandment of the Lord. It says, love one another. Love your neighbor. Love the one who is with you. As I, Jesus, have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. In other words, he wants you to lay down your life for your friend. Lay down your life for your brother. Lay down your life for your sibling who is sitting by you. Yeah. Yeah. So all the quarrels, all the, you have done this, you have done that, you have done this. I'm not talking to this one. Let your defenses, bring down your defense mechanism. Your defenses are too high. Nuclear bombs. Ready to bomb anyone who will come close. No. Greater love has no man than this, John 15, verse 13, than that a man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus says, love one another, not as you love yourself, because some people don't know how to love themselves. Some people don't treat themselves well. Yeah, even in their bathing, as they're bathing, you can see that he doesn't treat them. He doesn't treat. The way you bath shows that you don't treat yourself well. You do this. We are done and we are off. You are not taking care of yourself. You are not taking care of yourself. Jesus knows. So if he says, love your neighbor as yourself, you bath your neighbor second, shoom. That's what we are done. So he didn't say, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, love one another as I have loved you. How did I love you? I loved you. I gave my life for you. I loved you. I was maltreated on your behalf. I loved you. I took your place of death, your place of sin. Yeah. Your place of punishment. I took it so that you will be free. He wants us to treat each other like that. Then he says, by this particular thing shall all men know. And John 13, now verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If ye have love one to another, how we treat each other makes a very big difference. And we are there to help the family. The reason for the family is to help for the chains to break. For the chains to break. Yeah. For the chains of anger to break. Yeah. The chains of pride to break. The church family will just organize. You see that you are a very proud person. Yeah. It's like you realize, I need to change. Don't get angry about correction and, you know, all those things. You know, the word of God is for that purpose. Okay? The word of God is for what? It's for that. It's for the purpose of correcting you. It's for the purpose of rebuking you. It's for the purpose of changing your life so that you become a better person. It's a family thing. Haven't they rebuked you in your family before, in your house before? Show me a spoiled child and I'll show you a child who was not rebuked. I'll show you a child who was not lashed. They didn't lash you.
You were not lashed. You were not corrected. Even telling them to go and stand in the corner is a form of correction. Yeah. Yeah. Go to the naughty corner. It's a form of correction. This is just what is, has come. We have imported that. We, me, my time, there's no naughty corner. There's a not. There's a cane for naughtiness. Charlie, what it? They'll just slap you. You wonder if you are loved or you are not loved. It can beat you like a thief. Your own father. Yeah. They are the neem tree breakers. As we're heading home now, then you see neem tree has come past. Yeah! With the leaves and everything. They are just... Yeah, I tell you. Benkuta. Belts. I remember when we were in GSS, there was this friend, we were just in primary, I think primary 5 or 6. And one of my friends, you know, did something wrong. And he thought, you know, because nobody spoke about it, he thought everything was over. So in the evening, he was off to bed. And then his father was just walking him to his room. You know, like, oh, talking to him. When they entered the room, he locked the door. And then the cane came from his back, like Jackie Chan. When he came to school, he said, hey, today my father was like Jackie Chan. He removed the cane from his back. Lashed him. He lashed his spirit out of his soul. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, spare the rod. Yeah. The Bible says that the rod of foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. And so we are not the one says it's foolishness. It's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound. It's locked up in the heart of the child. Is it true? When you see a child, you realize that even the way they are crying and the way they are doing that, you realize that it's foolishness. And he shows you what to take it away. He says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So correction, rod of correction drives foolishness very far. Yeah, you are correct because you have been corrected. Bars. Yeah, I'm giving myself bars. So 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. Then it says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is for the purpose of correcting you. God corrects us because we are his children. He says, have you seen a child that is not corrected before? If it's not corrected, then it means that it's not really a son. If you're a son, he says you'll be corrected. And there's nothing, it's for the purpose of making you a better person. It's part of the family thing. Okay? That's in Hebrews chapter 12. Go up to verse 5. Let's read from verse 5 so that we can just say that. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. If you are a child, if you are part of the family, you are part of this. It's my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, or the correction of the Lord, or the training of the Lord. Okay, the word chastening is actually training, child training of the Lord. Nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Hey, says don't run away because you have been rebuked. Because you have been corrected. No. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, or the correction of the Lord, or the training of the Lord. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Next verse, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, the one the Lord loves, he says, he chasteneth or corrects. Okay? And scourges every son whom he receiveth. He lashes every son whom he receiveth. Hey! Wow! Child training. It's training of a child, basically. That's what he's talking about. Next verse. Then he says, if you endure chastening or lashes, God deals with you as with sons. And the lashes, so he's talking about words, using the word of God to correct you. Either through your shepherd, through a brother, through a pastor, through someone who is around you. Letting you know that this thing is not good. I think you should do it like this. Something you have believed for a long time, they tell you that it's not true. It's one of the most difficult things. Yeah. Like you've believed this thing for a long time, then you realize all of a sudden that it's all nonsense. What you said your life was based on, your principles of life, is all nonsense because it is pari passu. It's different from the word of God. It's parallel to the word of God. It's not the same. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Next verse. But if you be without chastisement or without correction or without training, it says that whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Wow. If your son is this, he'll correct you. Next verse. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. He's talking about natural fathers, which corrected us. And we gave them reverence when we were corrected. We respected them more when we were corrected. When I grew up, I told my father, hey, you really lashed me when I was young. He said, brother, if I had not lashed you, you would not be like this. That's my, because I was very stubborn. I almost removed one of my sister's eyes. Oh, yeah. Very stubborn. I threw a stone straight. Because she was annoying me, like, what's going on? Yeah. Very stubborn. You see, God has given you a good part. It's my father who has made me a good. He's beating me into shape. I'm not saying kill your children. No. He corrected me. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? Yeah. I was very stubborn. I eat breakfast at home. That's it. You see me at 11 p.m. When we say vacation, when they say vacation, what is vacation? What am I doing? We have vacation, including home. We have vacation on vacation. No. I'm off. I eat breakfast. That's it. You will not find me. It is my name that is used to call. They use my name to call my father, my mother, everybody. This Kwesi Fie, Kwesi Papa, Kwesi Ma. I mean, I have plenty siblings, so I'm the one who is known. Yeah, celeb. The celeb of the family. Oh, I was very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. Watching movies. I mean, I've watched movies since I was a child. I've always liked movies. Yeah. We could walk for 15 kilometers, 20 kilometers to go and watch a movie and walk back. It's not a problem at all. Whether it's school day or it's not school day, operator, cinema hall. I mean, I'm inside. I would have been a very bad stubborn. I'm sure I'd have given birth by 16. Oh, yeah. 16, I mean, it's even too early, too late. I mean, earlier. Yeah, because all kinds of things. Exposed to all kinds of things. So there was a register for me at home. My big sister, one of my big sisters was the one handling that register. Yeah. So when I go out on Monday, she'll take Monday off. And each day off like that, each day take like that, is about 4 lashes. Yeah. And I'm still not afraid. I was not afraid. I'll just go. Yeah. I'm out. I'm off. And when my father comes, yeah, I'm in trouble. They'll lash me. Hey! One day they even passed Pepe around my balls. Like, that's like, correct. Like, this boy is too stubborn. Hey, let's correct him. They'll put pepper and ginger and some other thing and push it into your anus so that you can suffer a bit. I mean, all those things. Stay odeshi. And I was just as small. I'm talking about 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I got born again around 12 years old. That was when they started noticing that, hey, the boy has changed. Very stubborn. And I respect my father for it. It's because I don't know what would have happened to me. He told me, if I had not done some of those things to you, you would not be here. Yeah. So as long as we belong to the family of God, God will also correct us. God will also say something. You come with a beloved, you are fooling around, sleeping around, whatever, and then they will tell you, break that thing off. Break that thing off. And then in the office, like, hey, I brought myself. I'm off. We are going. Me and him, we are going. This boy has not married you. He has done all the styles in the world with you.
You are doing a benkwai for him.
Very stressful soup. You are doing all that for him. You are washing. You are sleeping over. He's beating you. He's not married you. He's taking money from you. His host, your hostel fee, he's taking it from you.
I'm in love, baby. Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you have no idea. Pastor, we don't know what you're talking about. Do you know we are in love? You don't know? Have you fallen in love before?
This blindness is nonsense. And then we try to correct you. And then, hey, I'm off. I came on my own. Someone told me I came on my own. I'm off. Hey. Chains of nonsense. Says family who break that chain for you.
Yes.
God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains.
Yes.
He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious, he says, they shall still dwell in the dry land. They'll still dwell in the dry land. No change.
Yeah.
So don't be rebellious. Just flow. Okay? And you become a better person. Sometimes when I see some of our pastors, I just shake my head. Because if they had not submitted to the correction, they had not submitted to the family and just flowed, they wouldn't be where they are. Oh, yeah. Somewhere what? You'd have been rapists. Raping people. All kinds of people. All kinds. All kinds. Wild stories. You can't believe. Today, they are your pastors. They are your strong people for the Lord. They know God. They are preaching. They are doing. Hey! Society has been rid of those things because of the family, the gospel, the word of God that came to them. So, brothers and sisters, submit to the correction of the Lord and see your life go higher and higher. All the chains, I see all the chains breaking and I see you becoming a better person. Rise up upon your feet and thank God for what I shared with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Can you thank God for a minute for sharing these things with you? Tell the Lord, Lord, I receive grace to be part of the family. Yes, receive grace to be part of the family. Receive grace to flow as a member of the family, to come close and not be afraid of correction. Yes, so that your character can be better. Yes, your life can be better. You have a change in your life. You record a change. Talk to the Lord right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive grace, receive grace, receive grace. To live out the life of Christ, to live out the virtues, the excellencies, the beauties of the Lord, to become a better person. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mara denebe shuta apale gadabai. Mendo oshana mande. I pray that the Lord will preserve you. I pray that the Lord will keep you. I pray that the Lord will cause you to stay where He has planted you and flourish as He has designed for you to flourish. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for changes. Lovely, beautiful changes. I pray for chains that has bound you for years to be broken off. I pray that you become the Christian, the one who displays the virtues and the excellencies of Jesus Christ here on earth. People will know Jesus because of you, because of your love. They'll see your love and wonder, what manner of man is this? They'll see how well you forgive, how you forgive and how you flow and how wonderful you are, and give glory to your Father which is in heaven, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give Jesus a big shout? Glory, 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 glory.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.